You're listening to the Sermon on the Mount, Lesson 1. We read in Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Matthew 5, 1, ESV, English Standard Version. Mountains are associated with many important events in the Bible. We think of Moses, Mount Sinai, Elijah also at Sinai, also called Horeb. We think of Jesus on the various mountains in Matthew. In Matthew's gospel, in chapter 4, the devil takes him up onto a high mountain to test him, to tempt him. Jesus withdraws for prayer in Matthew 14 to a mountain. There's the transfiguration, chapter 17, the Great Commission, chapter 28. So you have all these instances of Jesus being on a mountain, five of them just in Matthew. And mountains can be inspiring. I mean, I'm inspired when occasionally I will see mountains like Kilimanjaro in East Africa or the Matterhorn in Europe or Vesuvius. Think of beautiful Table Mountain, South Africa, or Mount Everest. There's something about mountains that makes us feel closer to God. I don't know that we are any closer to God, but we are certainly higher up. We're lifted above the hubbub of our daily life, and the air is cleaner and purer and crisper. At any rate, Matthew tells us that Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Before we even move on to verse 2, there's a few things here to note. Jesus teaches sitting. Now, perhaps sometimes he taught standing up, but that was the normal posture for a teacher with his students, with his disciples. They would sit, he would be teaching, and we often see him in this position. I think of the beginning of John 8, for example, or in the end of Luke 10. Luke 10, we have Martha, who's very distracted by many things that must be done, but there's her sister Mary, who's seated at Jesus' feet in the position of a disciple. And that's important because the New Testament teaches that women are just as good at being disciples as men. In fact, often they're portrayed as being even better. There's a book some of you may have read. The title is, I believe, Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. You know, in Luke 10, 38 to 42, Martha is distracted. There's a lot going on. Mary has taken time out to learn from the Lord, and she's seated at his feet. Well, another thing I notice about this is that it says the crowds are around, but Jesus teaches the disciples. And it's not that he never spoke to crowds, because we do read of him speaking to large crowds, for example, in Luke 14. But here he teaches his disciples. I think it's assumed, it's implicit somehow, that the disciples then relayed this important teaching to others. And if so, it would be a kind of parallel with Matthew 28, where Jesus tells them to make disciples of all peoples and to teach them. And so Jesus' teaching goes out through others, just as Jesus depends on you and me to spread the truth of the gospel to a lost world. Jesus, the teacher. In fact, in Matthew, Matthew portrays Jesus as a second Moses. You may remember way back in Deuteronomy 18 that Moses said there would be another leader for God's people like him. Well, this was an important prophecy for the early church, that Jesus was like Moses. Jesus brought God's revelation to the people. He was their leader. He performed miracles. And there are a number of other parallels. In fact, if you want to explore this more, take a look at the notes with this podcast. They're just a brief sketch of what I've said. And there's a link to a lesson called Matthew, Jesus, to Jesus as Second Moses. And if that's a new thought to you, please take some time. It's 13 minutes long. You can watch that. It's at YouTube, and that could be very helpful. And even to justify this, Matthew has arranged all of Jesus's material, his teaching material, into five blocks, like the five books of the Psalms or the five sections of the Torah. They start in Matthew 5, 10, 13, 18, and 23. And I don't think that's coincidental. Anyway, the Sermon on the Mount is the first and the longest and arguably the most important of all of these blocks of material. So he's on the mountain, or the mountainside, as the NIV puts it, and the disciples come and he begins to teach them. And what I would like us to do is listen now to what he says. I'm only going to read today the Beatitudes, and we'll look at them one by one in the coming week or so. But instead of thinking of this as a series of disconnected observations or prayers or blessings for people in a tough spot or for people who, well, maybe they're not doing well, but it'll be okay if they just follow Jesus. The last time I read the Sermon on the Mount was actually when I was in the mountains a few weeks ago, in the Canadian Rockies, and it struck me that these would be an incredible description, not necessarily a job description, how would we put it? It would be, if this were your resume, then you could be one of God's men, one of God's women. It's a set of qualities. It's not just a set of different blessings. It's the way we should be. So let's read this and think about it. And then we'll have a prayer and we'll close. And that will be more or less our format for the 40 lessons or so in this series. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Well, those are the eight Beatitudes. And it just hit me when I was having a personal spiritual retreat, trying to focus on the Sermon on the Mount before deciding that I would even do this series. It just hit me that, yes, this is what we should be looking for as we seek trustworthy men and women, or those who will carry the word forward, those who are disciples, those who are Christian leaders, the way we would like to be in our heart. We want everyone to be pure in heart and a peacemaker. We don't want troublemakers. We don't want people who are rough, not gentle, not meek, but bullies. And we don't want people who are pretty happy with their lives. There's no hunger and thirst for improvement. No, we want people who understand what suffering is, people who can mourn, who have that heart. So there's so much here. So think of this as kind of the ideal description of a Christian disciple. Think about that. All right. Before we sign off, I'd like to lead us in a prayer. And then tomorrow we'll be back for the second lesson in our series, which is on that first beatitude. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can open the book of Matthew, that there we find the teaching of our Lord, and especially these three chapters of the Bible that are so well known, so cherished, and we know that the heart of Jesus is revealed in these chapters, and we know they're challenging. Help us not to skim, not to skip, but to really take a deep dive and to look at everything, not just things that seem interesting or things that are not too challenging. Lord, we thank you for Jesus' teaching style. He made it so easy for us to remember what he said. And last, give us the qualities that we see here, from being poor in spirit and mourning all the way to being pure in heart and being peacemakers. We long to be like that. We long for a life of holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. Back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.